Appreciate the opportunity, appreciate seeing every one of you again, and always a great help that we find when we come. And many times we get a little weary throughout the year, and it's always a great help to get refreshed. Amen. Isaiah chapter 49, if you have your Bibles handy, as I noticed many of you did, and I'll get there quick as I can. Isaiah 49, and I'll read middle of the chapter. And we might want to stretch a little bit, so let's all stand for just a minute, and we'll read. And we do that at our church, and so I figured it won't hurt to do it here. And when we read the Word of God, Isaiah chapter 49, and beginning in verse number 20. 1. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, Who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone, these where they had been. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles, thank the Lord for that, and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. Thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. In the middle of verse number 22, he says, And set up my standard to the people. That similar term shows up in Isaiah chapter 10 in a little different setting, Isaiah chapter 10 and verse number 18, we find it. It says, And shall consume the glory of his forest and his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth. So we see both ends of the spectrum of this thought about a standard bearer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for our time of fellowship together. Thank you, Lord, for this meeting, and Lord, the help that we draw from it every year. Lord, would you bless the time of preaching, Lord, that you'd be glorified and honored with it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I appreciate the Word of God, appreciate the privilege of preaching. You know, years ago, I'm sure all of us had that time in our life before we got to where the Word of God was our daily routine, I guess we could say, and help us not to, Lord, help us to never become a routine in our life, but to that which we draw from daily. I think sometimes we don't learn the value of that early enough in life, but as you read through the Scripture, as has been my habit, read through it on a daily basis, and then I find stuff. You know what I'm talking about? And as I was reading through Isaiah earlier this year, I just stumbled across the thought of this thought of a standard bearer. What is it? What is its purpose? And why do we still need a standard bearer in our day and time? When you read verse number 18 of chapter 10, you find it used in a sense of what happens when the standard bearer fails. You think about what it means. It was the one who was given to the cause of his army. He had a goal in his life. He had a desire to be used wherever his army needed him to be used. We find that he was a brave individual because he went in the front and he was busy holding his standard. He wasn't busy firing a weapon. We find that it was one who was willing to give of his life. His cause was more important than his existence. We find also that as he was in the front of the battle, generally he died. And somebody come along behind him and picked up the standard and carried on. But to pick up the standard meant he would drop his weapon. And so to live the life of a standard bearer, sometimes it was a short-lived existence, but it was always a dangerous place to be. We also find that the believer gives us a standard, and that is himself. That which we are to carry as a believer is not worldly things. That which we carry is not
how large of a bank account we grow. The standard that which we carry is not how much of a name we make for ourselves, but the standard that we bear is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We find a society that is quick to pick up on a movement, or it's quick to pick up on an agenda that they want to progress or push toward in the life of somebody else. They want to get them on their team. Why don't we have a crowd that just picks up the standard of Christ and decides that against all odds, I'm going to live right. Against all odds, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Against the popular wave coming against us, we're going to do what God commands in this world. What type of a person does it take to become a standard bearer? Wrote down a few thoughts. Number one, he must have a fixed and strong principle of life. It's going to be a long introduction today. The message will be about as long. So I'm going to do my best. The man who will bear the standard of his army must be devotedly attached to it. He must be devoted to the cause for which that army fights for. It's not difficult to find a world that's devoted to a wicked cause. What happened to people that are devoted to a godly cause? Why is it that when the wickedness of the world increased, that the godliness of God's people decreased? Why is it that you have to chase people? We have a man in our church that pastored about 45 years, and he, when I started at Lupton Drive, he said, "Now, preacher," he says, "I'm not necessarily recommending this philosophy, but just in case it works for you, I didn't pastor with a pocket full of pacifiers." He says, I didn't rush to put one in somebody's mouth to keep them from whining. I just tell them to grow up and get over it. He said, "I run off a few of them that way, but that means you don't have as many headaches either." Take it or leave it. Amen. But we find a world that opposes all that God's for. Right. What is it going to take to bear the standard of Christ? It'll take someone who's devoted to the army of the Lord. We find enough people who are just casual observers when it comes to the things of God. We have a number of people that probably at every church in America today that just casually decide to show up when they feel like it, or to be just dedicated enough to not look like a complete heathen, whatever the answer is in their mind. But we find that in all honesty, they're not really devoted to the cause of Christ. They're not decided to be a standard bearer for the Lord. It's the man who's willing to be a guide and to be a leader for the things of God, one who have a definite conviction about what the church is. Hey, listen, there's no secrets here. The trend of church is modernism. We know that. The trend of a 2019 assembly, if we can call them that at all, is to push toward the things of the world. Many years ago, when I still worked for Terminex, our branch manager was a Harley rider. I've got nothing against Harley riders. I'm too scared to ride one, but I've got nothing against them. But he was coming in one morning, and we were just talking, as we generally did on Mondays, laying some things out. And he said, "How was church yesterday?" I said, "Man, it was a great day." I said, "My soul was fed. The songs were great. The preaching was outstanding." I said, I wasn't preaching that week. I said, it really helped my soul. I said, "How was church at yours?" He goes, "Well," he said, "ours is a little different." I said, "Pray tell." He said, "Well, we meet at a bar." I said, "Oh, that's a bad place to start a conversation about church." He said, "My preacher has a ponytail, goes halfway down his back. We have a smoking section." I couldn't help myself. "Do you have a drinking section too, since you meet at a bar?" "No, we close that down on Sundays." I said, my. I said, "Kind of hard to distinguish between God's people and the world's people, isn't it?" He said, "I never thought about that." And I said, "Why is it?" Somebody decided they didn't want to bear the standard of Christ. We find that you must have that strong principle. In order to be a standard bearer, you must have courage. You know why? Because to bear the standard of Christ is unpopular in the world which we live in today. Not hard to tell that, is it at all? A true standard bearer must be described as this: valiant for the truth. One whose life is driven and satisfied only by the truth. You know, we find that truth is what annoys people today. We find that truth is what people claim as offensive today. You know, I don't worry about whether or not people are offended when I get done preaching. As long as I'm staying within the bounds of the Word of God, then if God offends someone, that's between them and the Lord. I'm delivering the package that God had planned. But we must have a standard that is valiant for the truth. The Bible reminds us over and over again about the value of the truth. But you know, that's the Word of God that says very simply that the truth will make us free. What a glorious thought of what truth does in the life of the believer. I bask in it every morning. The Word of God comes alive as we read to it because the author is our friend and our guide as we go through. We find that the truth is the law. Truth is more than a possession, but rather we would rather be possessed by the truth itself. We belong to Him. We belong to the standard bearer. And as a privilege, we get to hold the standard high as we go forward and live in a wicked world. We find that the standard bearer must have courage. Then, yet more noble, a standard bearer must have very simply a personal devotion to Christ. We find people devoted to some strange things in our day and time. You get people knocking on the door, they're devoted to their works for salvation. They might be devoted to their particular church. And I was thinking about the message that Brother Sisson brought and how the Catholicism, you know, talks about 5 years of age. And boy, you know, it's that same is true in many of the cults and probably all of the cults. If they get them early, they generally keep them. That's not true in Baptist churches. You know, something's missing then. We're perhaps missing the thought about discipleship and training. And yet at the same time, when you got somebody that was raised in a cult, the world doesn't pull against them. You're not offending the devil. But you have a child raised in the truth, raised in the family of a standard bearer, and all the gates of hell rage against that child, rage against that individual. Why? Because we have a message that our enemy hates. Satan doesn't hate a Jehovah's Witness. They're on the same team. Satan doesn't hate a Mormon. Hey, they're batting at the same plate. Amen. Satan doesn't hate the charismatic crowds that go on that are a mile wide and eighth inch deep. Why? Because there's nothing in them that opposes the things of the enemy. But you find a family that stands for the truth. You find a church that preaches the truth. And every demon of hell is after that church and after that family. And evermore the reason why we should stand in a personal devotion to Christ. What our parents had is not enough. We must have it for ourselves. Amen. What our pastor had was not enough. We must have it for ourselves. We must be personally and diligently devoted to Christ. You see, Christ is to that individual the truth, and Christ alone is his sufficiency. If we get empty of the world and we get empty of self and full of Christ, we'll find ourselves to be delighted in our devotion to Christ. I think that's the missing ingredient today. We find a lot of people that love to go to church. They love to hang around church folk. They love to fellowship with God's people, but many times they lay it down Sunday. They don't pick it up Monday morning. We find a lot of people that are just very nominally devoted to the things of the Lord, and all in essence, they're not devoted at all to the things of God. They're devoted to some strange feeling. They're devoted to some satisfaction that they did their duty. By the way, you can be a tither and not be devoted to Christ. You can show up at church, God help us, more than once a week and not still be devoted to Christ. I probably preached to some on all three times during the week that still aren't completely devoted to Him. Amen. We find that we can be less than devoted to Christ and not hold the standard high and still be faithful yet to the house of God. We find a lot of times, I wonder if some of them's even listening. Amen. the most illustrious of the standard bearers of the Christian army undoubtedly was the Apostle Paul. He was the missionary to the Gentiles. He was the one that, you know, the Jews weren't real favorable to Paul. I don't know, maybe they thought some of his track record. Maybe they didn't appreciate the fact that he preached that Christ was the fulfillment of the law to them. And yet he decided he was going to go by the hand of God to reach the Gentiles. That's what we come down to in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse number 22. And God says, I'll lift up my hand to the Gentiles. Thank the Lord that the gospel message went to an old crowd of dogs as the Gentiles were. Yet we find one who come along and says, guess what, crowd? I'll pick up the standard. I'll go on and take Christ to a heathen world. By the way, we still need some that'll pick up the standard and take it to a heathen world. If we study the life and character of Paul, we'll arrive at the best and truest concept of what an ideal standard bearer should be in our day and time. Paul said, I'm free from the blood of all men. I don't know what it's like going to be like at the judgment seat of Christ for the majority of us, but Paul had one thing figured out. He wasn't going to be guilty of not being a standard bearer for the things of the Lord. Christians, our standard is laid out in Hebrews 2:10, where Christ is the captain of our salvation. We serve Him, and we serve Him alone. And by the way, we better be devoted to it at a rate that's never been seen before because of the raging enemy that we have. The manual of arms, you could say, is the standard of the Word of God. By the way, that's not very standard in churches in our day and time. I've heard preachers say this statement, well, the Bible that I've chosen this week is. I didn't realize there's more than one option. Some of them things wouldn't make a decent commentary. As we think about the concept of what's taking place within buildings that are called churches today, we realize that no wonder the world's going to hell at an alarming rate, because even within what is called a church, there's not a standard bearer. I feel bad for those crowds that listen to some of that stuff that they call preaching today. Fellas that stand up, can't even tuck in their shirt. Look like they just walked out of doing yard work. And that fella in Houston, his wife has to stand up and read a Bible for him. I knew he was bad, but I didn't realize he's allergic to reading the text. Maybe his wife's too much of his boss. I don't know what's going on. Hey, but listen, we have a manual of arms. We have a standard, and that is the Word of God. We have a generation that wants to shape the Word of God instead of a generation that wants to be shaped by the Word of God. When someone comes out and says, my preference of Bible versions is this, they tell me right off the bat that God's not in charge of that. Hey, listen, when we find that we have to pick and choose what we want to hear, we're no longer in tune to the truth. We're in tune to self. And that's where the world's at today. And I said that on purpose because that's where the church is at. And most of the church has arrived at the door of the world, and that's where they desire to be. We find that we, as one who is the standard bearer, has enjoined himself to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We find the continuation that no man that warreth entangling in himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. 2 Timothy 2. Verses 3 and 4. God's chosen us to bear the standard. God didn't choose us to be a one-time-a-week Christian. God didn't choose us to serve Him when it was convenient. God didn't choose for us to put on worldliness every day of the week, but Sunday, God chose us to arise every day, put on the standard of truth, and bear the name of Christ to a Christless world. Why is it that the world rages against the church? Because the church is not pushed back against the things of the world. They decided to blend in with the things of the world, and they've no longer bore the standard. As followers of our great standard bearer, We must continually seek to have the mind of Christ. We'll never succeed of bearing the standard unless we take on every day the mind of Christ. You, as well as I, you preach every week to some who have not put on the mind of Christ. You'll preach weekly to some who have not put on the whole armor of God. You'll preach to some who have stepped off in their walk with Christ. Don't beat them down. Don't burn them down. Don't tear them up. Hey, listen, preach Christ to them. Remind them that their responsibility is to pick up the standard. Remind them that their responsibility is to be a godly example to those around them. And then how about we narrow it down to in their home? I had a fellow tell me one day, I'm not a very good spiritual leader in my house. I said, then your house is out of order. I said, no wonder your children are in the worldly condition that they're in, because they don't have the example that they need. When we have a person who teaches their children that fellowship with God's people is optional instead of required, no wonder our children will turn into worldly so-called believers. Hey, listen, we must pick up the standard in our homes. We must take that standard to our churches and remind one another, edify one another, help one another in their walk with Christ, so that we might go out into the field that is around us and proclaim a Savior who lived for a dying world. We find that we must bear as a good soldier. We must have the mind of Christ. We must keep ourselves pure. We're reminded, even as Christ is pure in 1 John 3, verse number 3, we have a standard to live pure. We must also remember that Christ Himself suffered for us, 2 Peter 2:21, 1 Peter 2:21, leaving us an example that ye should have, that ye should follow His steps. What is our goal as a believer? It is to be able to say, as Paul would say in 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Well, you say, preacher, how can we be a standard bearer? Let me give you four thoughts and I'll be completed. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You'll be a standard bearer when you remain steadfast in Christ. We find a world today that's up and down. James talks about being tossed about with every wind of doctrine. We find those that are straddling the fence. They're going back and forth one way this week and one way that week. We find a wishy-washy world that has an example before them of a wishy-washy church. When a church bows down to the standard of the world, we know what's taking place. Somebody failed to be steadfast. You say, preacher, I'm weary, I'm worn, I'm tired. Hey, listen, as a good soldier, pick up the bearer of Christ, the standard of Christ, and bear it for the glory of God. And let God be your strength. I realize that it's weary fighting the fight. I realize it's discouraging fighting the fight. I realize that people let you down week in and week out, but we don't bear the standard of people. We bear the standard of Christ. We found many times that people have fallen off in their steadfastness because they failed in the things I mentioned before. They failed in purity. They failed in the standard of truth. And they failed to keep themselves personally devoted to Christ. But listen, we must remain steadfast. What a command. Then he says to be unmovable. Well, how do we have that in our life? Always abound in the work of the Lord. I've never found that when someone's committed to the work of Christ and they're committed to doing the work of Christ in the strength of Christ, I've never found that Christ fails. I've found men to be disappointed in the results sometimes, but let me remind you today that our responsibility has never been the result. Our responsibility has always been to plant and water. The results are God's business. The harvest belongs to Him. The harvest is not mine. Harvest is His. I thought about how many times, well, let me put it this way, I think it was Billy Sunday, fella come up to him staggering drunk one day, and he said, "Mr. Sunday, you saved me." And he says, "You look like one of my converts." Amen. Hey, but to be a standard, to be a convert of Christ, would be someone who decided somewhere along the line they're going to be steadfast for the glory of God. We must be steadfast. We must have that standard of truth. 2 Timothy 4, as I mentioned, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Faith doesn't evolve. It doesn't change. It doesn't progress with the time. The standard of truth remains the same. What the Apostle Paul preached is what we preach. What the Baptist forefathers have preached is what we preach. Why? Because the standard of truth does not change as men's desires and feelings change. I remind my church, I'm not really overly concerned about your feelings. I'd prefer not to make half the crowd mad. I'd really prefer not to make the whole crowd mad. But I will preach the standard of truth because it shall not change. And thank the Lord, I've a crowd that's sticking with it. Amen. You never know. I have to bury too many of them. And it's hard to replace dead people. You ever notice that? And I was thinking about, I had to bury a good one not too long ago. And I was thinking about the same week that I buried. Matter of fact, might have been the same day. I don't remember. But we had our preacher's fellowship in the area that Thursday morning. And the preacher was talking about how he had to bury a good one. That's Brother Ricky Gravely. Y'all probably know Brother Gravely. And he said, "I had somebody die." And he says, "And I was at the bedside arguing with the Lord. Lord, I've got 25 people I'd rather you take than this one." I'm thinking, Lord, you take somebody that's good, that loves God, that's faithful, and you leave me with 25 people. The church isn't 25. He's talking about out of his crowd. You left me with all these other here over here that, they show up once in a while and all they do is stir up trouble. Lord, you could have taken one of them. You had to take this one. Well, that was the kind I felt like I was burying that week. That's the way it goes sometimes. But, some of them delight in the standard bearer of the truth. And also we must have, if we're going to bear the standard of Christ, we must be separated in our living. 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." I remember some years ago, we were rabbit hunting one day, and Dad's hunting buddy was with us, and I shot one, and it ran into a pile, and the dog went in after it. Well, they was gone forever. We were already done for the day anyways. We walked up to the house, and about 15 minutes later, that beagle hound come up there just as proud with that rabbit in its mouth. And that didn't happen very often. And we got about 15 feet away and realized real fast what that rabbit had encountered was a skunk. Oh, and that dog, apparently its sniffer wasn't working real good today. It didn't bother him. And that dog come up there with that skunk sprayed rabbit in its mouth just as happy, just as proud. And so we reached down, got the rabbit out of it, and put the dog, which didn't smell too good, up in the cage. And I got to thinking, boy, I've touched something I didn't want to touch. And Herb said, "Now reach in the side of that head of cabbage and get way down deep where it's naturally moist and rub your hands around in there and it'll take it off." Sure enough, it did. But you know what I thought about? My hands had felt like they were defiled because of how bad that thing stings. What do you think it means when we don't live a separated life? You think God wants to reach into a filthy life and do a great work of God in that life? No. God wants a life that's been separated for Him. That's what it'll take if you're going to pick up the standard of Christ and bear it for the world to see. Hey, listen, we need a separated life. And then also we must be surrendered to the cause. 1 Samuel 17:29, David asked a wonderful question as a young man. Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason that we have to fight the giant that's in front of us today? 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul reminds us to watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. I looked that up years ago, and it means very simply just to act manly. Boy, that's a good message for our crowd today in the world, isn't it? Y'all better learn how to act like men. Some of them need to learn how to dress like men, obviously. Amen. I've never had a question about that. I don't know. That, you know, that list of LGBT, they added Q, and they've added I, and they've added R. Now, what they call R and what I call R is two different things. But that Q, a question mark, how is that a question? You know what happened is somebody decided that God's standard wasn't good enough. That's what it boiled down to. They decided that what God did was not satisfactory for them. Well, it's not that they're necessarily offended at believers, and they claim to be, but the fact is that their sin has made them angry at God. And what's developed is we've got a people that question things. Well, where did that develop from? A generation that questioned God. I found that the generation that decided they need to stop training their children properly, which involved a good whooping, at least twice a day, whether they needed it or not, has generated the generation that questions everything. They question God, and then naturally everything that God does will be questioned. That's the nature of the enemy, by the way. He wants to question all that God's done. The Antichrist has the same personality, we'll notice in Revelation. The false prophet has the same personality. What is it? He's taking on their father, the devil. We find a questioning world. Hey, listen, God does not leave room for question. Everything's laid out. It is what it is. We had a man in our church that got fired as a school teacher. Well, he wound up winning and got back involved simply because he told a student, no, you can't do that. And he said, it's a very simple black or white issue. There's no gray area involved. Well, she was a young black lady. She goes, oh, that's racist. Of course, naturally, they took the case of the child as gospel. She had been kicked out of every school in the county for the same garbage. And how in the world she had any pull left in her, I'll never know. He had to appeal, and he won, and it was a shame, all the things that took place, simply because he says it's very simple. There's a true standard here. I'm offended at the standard. Hey, listen, help us today to be surrendered to the cause. You say, preacher, why is it important to fight against the things of the devil? Because the lives of and eternities of people hang in the balance, that's why. Because the message and the mission of the church is the same as it had always been, of taking the gospel to a world that's lost and dead without Christ. That's why. It doesn't matter what enemy we rage against. It doesn't matter what field that we fight in, but the battle remains the same. There is an enemy that hates the church. But the good news is the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Hey, we are fighting a winning battle today. The victory has already been won. What responsibility do we have? Pick up the standard. Why did God not say pick up your M16, AR-15 now, I guess, isn't it? Pick up a cannon, pick up a tank, pick up a bazooka, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal weapons. We pick up the standard of truth, and we bear, and we walk under the standard of truth, and we're going to find out that God uses that very standard of truth to fight against the enemies on our behalf. Are you willing today to be a standard bearer for God? There comes a time when either you will wholeheartedly stand with the Word of God, no matter the cost involved, or you will cowardly compromise. There's no difference. There's no middle ground in between. God being my helper, wrote this down. I'll not go silently. I'll not cower down to the voices of perversion and the godless agenda of this generation. I desire to preach and stand with anointing power and with an avid passion for truth and for right. If generation goes to hell, may they go to hell over our tears and the truth of the Word of God that pours out of my mouth. Listen, this world needs the same thing that it's always needed. That's the gospel. the methods. People bicker about what method we're going to use. But listen, the message remains the same. The hearts of men are still in need of the truth of the gospel. It don't matter if you're in Togo, if you're in the Philippines, or if you're in our nation. The message is the same because people's needs remain the same. I think about the world around us. I've been trying, I haven't gotten very far. I've been trying to understand the modern generation. Had a lady come in, works with a home for troubled children in our county, and Bethel Bible Village. And she come in, she's new on the church relation committee, I don't know what they call it, but she was just going around doing a meet and greet for the churches that supported them. And it started off years ago as an independent Baptist work, and it's not anymore. But there are kids involved, and we've got a family at our church that's house parents, and so I thought it'd be worthy to continue support. So she comes in, she's about 25, sits down, and I immediately realize we're from two different worlds. I get to talking with her, and she had grown up in a Southern Baptist church in Nashville. And I don't think it was even a solid Southern Baptist church. Just by listening to what she didn't know, she says, "Are y'all a Southern Baptist church?" I said, "Oh, no, ma'am, we're first class." I said, "We're a first class Baptist church." She looked at me. Well, I had to explain it then because she didn't catch on. Anyways, we get to talking and we're laughing. Stephanie was in there with me, so I wasn't in there by myself. And we're talking, and she started talking about the current generation. She goes, "I don't even understand my own generation." I said, "Join the club." I said, "That doesn't stop me from trying." But she said, "You know," she said, and she gave me an example of something that kind of stuck with me real hard. She had gone to Lee University, which we all know is an Assembly of God or a Church of God university there in Cleveland. And she said, "I saw the emptiness of that." And she's talking about speaking in tongues and trying to keep your salvation and all these other things. She says, "I saw the emptiness of that and compared it to what I saw in Christ." I thought, wait a minute, there might be some hope yet for the generation that is behind us. Boy, I thought about exactly what she said. They just need to see the fullness of Christ. The fullness of life in Christ. How are they going to see it? When we pick up the standard and we show them that there's a greater way than that which the world offers them. I believe we can bear the standard and make a difference in the world that is around us. See, preacher, are you going to reach them all? I don't know. It wouldn't offend me if I did. But hey, listen, that's not going to stop me from trying. The enemies of hell may rage against us, and they do, and they are. That don't stop me from bearing the standard. This world might ridicule and make fun, and they might take away the tax-exempt status. But you know what? Bless the Lord's name. I'm going to hold up the standard of truth. Not because those politicians care about what I'm saying, but I know it's because the crowd that's around us needs to hear what we've got to tell them. Bible talks about preaching the truth in love. You love someone, you tell them the truth because you love them. My friends, you can make a difference in some of them. Bear the standard, regardless of the cost that is around us. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege.